I'm a target, Lord, I'm a target, red and when I die, I'm a target dead. So it's rubber, Carolina, line of rubber, Carolina, line of rubber, Carolina,
Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, and Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Renner on the play action, looking deep. Going to go to Highsmith, leaping for the touchdown. What a grab!
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Still on his feet at the 30. Bernard is going to score. Oh, my goodness, what a run by Gio Bernard. The wide receiver going to throw it. The Tar Heels pick it off. Trey Boston.
The Good Sports is brought to you by the Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance Agency, your one-stop insurance destination right here in the southern part of heaven. Let the Seagrove's Insurance Agency take care of you. Seagrovesinsurance.com. Now, page two of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage.
Heels with the lead. Another handoff to Bernard. He's into the secondary. Goodbye.
The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
It's a beautiful day for a rivalry here in the western part of the Triangle. Good afternoon and welcome to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Aaron Keck. I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes as we count down to kickoff for the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils getting underway in just a couple hours at Wallace Wade Stadium up in Durham. Joining me for the next hour, joining all of us, are two of the loudest voices in Carolina athletics, Art Chansky and Bob Lee of Bob Lee Says. Art Chansky of Chapelboro.com.
Who says that? Who?
That's better than
you couldn't hear me because you were drowned out by.
All right, guys.
I can't even hear myself. Anthony, turn up my mic a little bit, will you? Thank you.
Yeah, now everyone can hear you. All right, well, guys, it's Carolina-Duke. It is one of the biggest rivalry games of the year, although we'll talk a little bit more about whether it's the biggest rivalry game of the year a little bit later. But before we start, break down this this Miami game. Prognostication did not work out well for a lot of people last week. Everyone was predicting a huge high-scoring game, scores in the 40s on both sides, and then come game time, 18-14, the final score. And if not for Giovanni Bernard, it might have been even lower scoring than that.
Well, take it away, Bob Lee. No, I'll take it away. You know, when you win a game
It'll
like that,
taken away. Yeah.
When you win a game like that, that shows good teams find a way to win when they're playing poorly and making mistakes. And Carolina made plenty of them last week. But I'm looking for a much smoother effort tonight over at Methodist Flats.
I'm looking for more points scored tonight than maybe we've between both teams. I don't think that we'll be able to shut them out because no one really has. But I'm looking for another one of those 40-point pluses, maybe not a 60, but a 40-point plus. And there have been a lot of games in this series.
There have been, and to me, that's all about mistakes, because it could have been a 40-point game last week when you think about how many yards they got and only scored 18 points.
Yeah, we beat them. We just had a hard time beating ourselves.
No question about it. And the other thing is, when you play at Duke in a game like tonight, and our guest later on, Gail Ballmer, can speak for this, I mean, it's the greatest atmosphere going, because they don't have a sellout unless we're the opponent. And the old horseshoe will be half light blue and half royal blue, and it's very difficult to say this about a Duke football game, but it will be an electric atmosphere tonight.
An electric night at the Wally without the Rolling Stones or Pink Floyd. Now, that you don't see that very often.
Exactly.
It's going to be a big game for both teams. Both teams 5-2. Duke, of course, one win away from bowl eligibility at the very least. Had a 20-point lead against Virginia Tech last week and blew that lead pretty badly. UNC playing for the state championship in pride at this point, but still 5-2 on their way to a good season. We're 7 games into the first season of the Larry Fedora era, and they're already putting up some pretty big offensive numbers and some pretty decent defensive numbers as well. 75 plays they're running a game, and Fedora says he wants even more than that. Giovanni Bernard, of course, putting up some huge numbers, especially last week. Bryn Renner, what now, 7 games into the season, what are the characteristics of a Larry Fedora Tar Heel team?
Well,
what
is for, First of all, I mean, that's much too long of an introduction. This is our show.
All right.
Go where's
I had Ant- more. I got all kinds of stats written down.
Anthony, would you go get Stutz? He understands who the stars of this thing are.
Right. But anyway, you know, when you say fast, smart, and physical, that's a Larry Fedora team. Now we got to work on the smart part a little bit. But you see them growing every week, and this is it's a great combination. Larry really should send a thank you note to Butch, because he inherited a bunch of good players, but he's given them really an exciting style to play, and they're really flourishing in that style.
Was that a positive mention of Butch Davis coming out of Marchansky? Stop the presses. I just want to make that note.
We're setting it up for another Butch segment later on in the show.
I know.
Okay.
Right, but, you know, hey, I'm telling you right now, despite the probation, we're going 9-3 or 10-2.
I think so, too. I am very impressed, and it's kind of an odd feeling because we're, quote, can't be bowl eligible, and it's like we're playing in sort of a vacuum. We're running up all these points. We're looking great, but no one's talking about, you know, what do we have to do to win the Coastal Division or whichever division we're in. I never keep it straight. Don't care to. But they're playing great football. You go to the game, it's going to be an entertaining game. And I'll tell you something else that I noticed last week, and obviously we committed a lot of those fouls, and you say, well, that's an undisciplined team. I don't think so. I think it's a very aggressive team, and we want to cut down on those. But what I'm noticing is our players are behaving themselves. Now, I don't like excessive celebration. Being happy when you have a turnover or score a big touchdown is important. But our players are not doing all this end zone stuff and everything. It's like you sense if they do, coach is going to jerk a knot in them.
Well,
I like that a lot.
One of the questions I have is, you know, we've had all this academic talk. Was math one of the courses that's supposed to be one of those bogus courses? Math, because, you know, they had two plays in a row where they had 12 guys in the field.
Or did you pass math? Because if so, then yes.
But I'm telling you, call Stutz, for goodness sakes, Anthony. Call Stutz. Get him in here quick.
Ron Stutz is nowhere to be found.
Oh, Lord.
No, you know, I really get the sense that Fedora is terrific, and I get the sense that he is enjoying the step up from Conference USA to, you know, what you could call big-time football, which the ACC is over Conference USA.
Remember, he spent a lot of his growing years in big-time football, both at the Big 12 and in the SEC.
Right.
So he's used to 90,000 people going nuts in a stadium.
But he's the boss.
He probably won't have today at the Wally, by the way.
He's the boss. And, you know, even though Duke hasn't had much of a program, when they run out tonight and they see that stadium half filled with light blue, that's really going to juice Larry Fedora. And that's why I've had it all week long that this is going to be a put together performance tonight, where the mistakes are going to be minimized, and Duke's going to have a load to deal with tonight.
One final word on last week. Would you have liked to have been in the film session Sunday afternoon? After all, I mean, won the game, sir, and that's great, and that's important. But the fact that there were so many penalties, I would believe that he burned the wallpaper off the wall in the meeting room.
Yeah, you know, but coaches love that. One of Dean Smith's favorite expressions all through the years was when they lost a close game, he used to say, well, a one-point win would have been perfect, because they would have won the game, but then he could have really blown him out in the film room the next day.
All right.
So I think that's really what happened. You know, tonight, biannual trip to Duke, despite the 21 out of the last 22, it's going to be a hellacious atmosphere.
Does that mean twice in 1 year, or once every 2 years?
Once every 2 years. Semi-annual is twice a year.
Okay.
You know that.
Not to be confused with a quadrant.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So big rivalry game coming up. Ordinarily played on the last game of the season. This year not. Bob Lee, enlighten us why.
I know.
Waving your arms in the air.
You know how, because I went to Bubba.
Yes. Bubba's secretary,
Cable guy, right.
Yeah.
But the reason, and Arthur, you may not know this, the reason we're playing them midseason, it's Duke's idea. One of our guests is staring at me. What? It was Duke's idea because Duke says they could sell more tickets for a midseason game than they can at the end of the year against us. So this has nothing to do with is State a bigger rival, or in this case this year, is Maryland a bigger rival? Cough, cough.
Well,
this is because Duke's people said we could sell more tickets for a midseason game when we may have a better record than at the end of the year when we're 3-8 or 2-9
or 5-6
or whatever. But and this year, oddly enough, it's a very competitive game on paper, and probably, you know, if they continue to have a good year, would have been a good end of the year game. But the decision was a Duke decision for their home game, and that does not mean that next year we won't play them at the end of the year or anything else.
Well, they don't call the shots. They just put their preference in, and the fact that the game would have been over Thanksgiving weekend, where all the Duke students are gone, and it has really turned into a terrible atmosphere, really, in both places when the game is over Thanksgiving and both student bodies are gone. So, you know, I like it where it is. There's even been talk.
Do they celebrate Thanksgiving in New Jersey?
Oh, shut up! In the past,
that's a no, I think.
In the past, they've had talk about opening the season with the Duke Carolina, seriously, and so both teams were 0-0. But I like it because it's 5-2, and you know Duke thinks it has a lot to play for.
But this are, as I said in my widely read column, this is the first of the back-to-back backyard rivalries. Not only are we playing our old traditional rival here in the midseason, we're playing another school that many consider a rival. We'll talk about that in just a few moments.
All right, a couple of games already in the tank for the ACC. Clemson over Virginia Tech, 38-17. Wake beating UVA, 16-10. We'll talk about games later on, a couple of games in action right now. But coming up after the break, we'll talk with a couple of big names from the Duke-Carolina rivalry. Gail Bomar of UNC joining us here in the studio, along with Leo Hart, former Duke quarterback, by phone. That is coming up after this break. You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having their biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. Take up to $2,500 off the 2012 Volkswagen Passat or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham, based on stock number W8595. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill. Top of the Hill helped forge the North Carolina microbrewing renaissance, and we are now proud to lead the state in micro distilling. Our organic Topo vodka is handcrafted from scratch in our Franklin Street distillery using only local organic soft red winter wheat. Ask for it in your local ABC store and find establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, topodistillery.com. Drink local, drink Topo vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers!
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org.
UNC Family Medicine. Being here for weekend warriors is just one part of caring for the course of your life.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
Carolina quickly snaps it. Renner, Bernard, a lot of room. He's to the 10, picking his way to the 5, and he'll make his way to the end zone for 6 more. Gio Bernard, 17 yards for the touchdown.
Welcome back to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Aaron Keck, and I've been instructed by Bob Lee to keep this interview or this introduction short, so I will move on fairly quickly. Duke and UNC both 5-2 this year. Good rivalry game, but hasn't been much of a rivalry in the last 22 years. Carolina's won 21 of the last 22, the only Duke win in that period in 2003. But prior to that, it was a very big rivalry, very, very close. And joining us now in the studio is former UNC quarterback Gail Bomar, joining us by phone, former Duke quarterback Leo Hart. Gentlemen, welcome. Bob Lee, Art C., take it away.
Well, we do have, from my past, we have two of the real heroes growing up and watching Carolina football. Gail Bomar, I came to school. Thanks for being here so much, by the way, Gail. I came to school here. You were the starting quarterback for Carolina, and Leo was the star over at Duke. So, Leo, thanks for joining us very much as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
And, Gail, you were Bill Dooley's first quarterback, plucked from the secondary because you were supposedly the best athlete on the team. So tell us a little bit about the day you were told that you were the new quarterback for the Tar Heels.
Well, back then, of course, when Leo and I played, you couldn't play varsity your freshman year. I came here as a quarterback and was a quarterback on the freshman team. And we had an awesome guy at quarterback my sophomore year named Danny Talbot. And instead of redshirting, I asked them if I could play defense, and so ended up playing safety that year, started every game. And then, of course, we had a coaching change. Coach Dooley came in from Georgia, brought SEC football to Chapel Hill, and his style of offense was the option offense, which was perfect for me. So I moved back to quarterback, played there my junior and senior years.
Well, I remember it was Bomar left, Bomar right, Bomar left, Bomar right. And you were a pretty good passer, but you were a left-hander. I don't think Dooley trusted left-handed quarterbacks in those days. And he didn't trust guys with weak arms, too. I remember a couple of years later when he used to tell Swafford, he said, "Now, Swafford, you go out there and run that 43 rollout pass, but don't you dare pass it."
That's right. That's a true story. I had lunch with Johnny just a couple of weeks ago in Greensboro, and we always reminisce about our football days, and I remember specifically in Carter Finley Stadium late in the game when Coach Dooley called Johnny over to the sideline, and he called 18 pass, and Johnny took off running out there, and he hollered at him and stopped, and he says, "Whatever you do, don't throw it."
Well, our other guy out there was never told not to throw it. The other guy out there, even in these days of 40 and 50 passes, the fellow, if his voice sounds a little far away, he's calling us from San Francisco, from beautiful Napa Valley. Leo, your career at Duke had kind of an auspicious beginning. If I recall, about a week or 2 weeks before the first game your sophomore year, you had no idea what that year was going to end up being like for you.
Bob Lee, you're exactly right. In summer practice there, we were going through two-a-days and three-a-days, and all of a sudden a young quarterback named David Trice, who was a year ahead of me, hurt his knee and leg, and Coach Harp looked over and says, "Leo, I think you're the only one left, so let's play football." So it was kind of interesting how I got into the first game, and I certainly appreciated the opportunity, and of course it was against South Carolina. And we were lucky enough that evening to beat them. So,
and that was down at Columbia, too, wasn't it?
At Columbia, a night game. So,
a little bit of pressure from a kid from Kinston being put under center for the first time in big time college football.
Absolutely, my eyes were very big as we walked into the stadium there in Columbia, with about 55,000 screaming South Carolina fans. Maybe there were about 150 Duke fans there that night. But
about the same tonight. I think about 150 Duke fans in Wallace Wade and 40,000 Carolina fans. So. Yeah. All right, now, Leo, we got a lot of anecdotes to do today, and we did a coin flip before, and you get to do the first anecdote from your period, and all our listeners are going to know what it is. You get to explain your version of Leo Hart and the shoestring play.
Okay. Well, on that Thursday afternoon before the game on Saturday, Coach Harp, at the end of practice, came up to us and said, "I'd like to install a new play, and I think we should run in the game called two plays. And the first one, Leo, I just want you to run toward our bench, get tackled, and then do something, get up slowly, and then Marcel Cordelet can look over at you, and when you're sitting there tying your shoe or whatever you're doing, if he says, 'Are you okay?' it is the statement for the rest of the line and for the rest of the players to be in position." At that time, just so long as you had seven players on the line of scrimmage, of course, four players behind it. So I had to remember once I was tackled to get tackled inbounds, keep the ball on the hash mark, and then also step back away from where I was tackled so I was considered in the backfield. It's kind of unusual, I guess, to think that with the numerous plays that we played, probably the most memorable one is, of course, me sitting down on the job tying my shoe.
Now, we have another version of that, of what happened, that as you were doing that, Gail, who had graduated, what, 2 years before, Gail, or a year before?
1 year.
One year before. Mm-hmm. You were there in the stadium. You were up in the stands. And how do you recall that moment, Mr. Bomar?
Well, Leo described it perfectly, because we had practiced that play my junior year when Coach Dooley came, and we ran it against our very first opponent that year. We played over at Carter-Finley Stadium against NC State, and it actually gained about 30 or 40 yards for us. We didn't, unfortunately, run for a touchdown like Duke did, but I was in the stands watching the game, and I saw exactly what was happening, and I mean, I stood up, and people around me thought I was crazy. I stood up, and all I could do was to yell the word shoestring. And so I'm up there yelling and waving my arms and says, "Watch out, shoestring, shoestring, shoestring." And people are looking at me, you know, and then I saw it develop, and I saw what was going on, and it was perfectly run. I mean, it couldn't have been better. And Leo, that was just a perfect play, buddy, on your all's part.
And just to explain, what happened was, while Leo was tying the shoe, they snapped the ball to Marcel Cordelet, who pitched it out to Wes Chesson, and he took off down the left sideline for 60-something yards for a touchdown. And most of the Carolina defense stood there and watched it. There were only a few guys who even tried to chase. And I saw Earl Chesson last night at a play, and he was on the Carolina sideline going, "Stop him, stop him, that's my cousin, stop him." And Wes was gone for the touchdown, and that was the winning score, because Duke upset Carolina that year 17-13.
Well, Leo, you and I were talking about this play earlier, and that here's one of the most famous plays that you were ever involved in, at least in terms of the Duke-Carolina rivalry, and you actually had nothing to do with the play. And a few weeks ago, we had another good friend of yours, Don McCauley, on our show. We have some great guests on this show. Arthur, do we have better guests than D.G. Martin? I believe we do.
Well, Aaron Keck lines him up. That's his.
Yeah.
And I'm the best guest of all.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, so I asked McCauley about his most famous play of all the thousand times he carried the ball. His most famous play, Bomar, was one when he didn't touch the ball, which was the Paul Miller bootleg. Then, Leo, you were on the sidelines for that one. As a quarterback, you were on the Duke sideline. Do you recall what you saw when Paul Miller faked the ball to McCauley and literally just skipped around the end into the end zone?
Well, as I understand from Paul years later, that I don't believe McCauley realized that he wasn't going to get the ball. That's why he was such a good actor,
so well,
going
yeah.
into the line of scrimmage trying to score. But Paul and I had a chance to play American Legion baseball, and of course he was just a terrific athlete out of Aiden, North Carolina, and played basketball, baseball, football. And so I knew him very well, and then when I saw him run around the end, I said, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to pay for this for many years."
And you have. People don't realize, when you get these old veterans together, they just keep beating these dead horses together. And I think all three of these stories that Gail had been told, what, about 10,000 times every time you guys get together or have a reason to. And that's really what great college football is about. Right, Arthur?
Yeah, absolutely. We got to take a break. We want to come back with these two guys, because we got a couple more anecdotes to talk about. And we'll be back after these messages.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White. Hey, Kev, what do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the difference. At Duke Integrative Medicine, we combine the best of all of medicine, from expert physician care to acupuncture, nutrition, massage, and more. In our state-of-the-art facility, we partner with you so you can live every day of your life in your very best possible health. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all, and now accepting insurance. Duke Integrative Medicine, transforming your health and your life.
We all know you'd do anything to watch the Tar Heel basketball team. So what would you do to watch the Tar Heels in Maui, Hawaii, this November at the 2012 Maui Invitational? All you have to do is visit one or all of our 24 sponsor locations and enter each and every week between now and November 4th. Each week, we'll draw a finalist from each location. That means you could be a finalist more than once to increase your chances at winning this great trip for two. You can also enter by simply going to chapelbro.com every week, where we'll also draw a finalist each week. Last but not least, you can be one of our finalists by listening in and calling when you hear the cue to the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news. Make sure you visit all 24 of our sponsor locations to enter, including Glass Half Full, Great Outdoor Provision, Harrington Bank, Home Watch Caregivers, Jersey Mike's, Louise Beck Properties, and Mama Dips, and the rest of the 24 sponsor locations all listed on chapelbro.com. Eat, drink, and be Maui with the Tar Heels at 97.9 FM WCHL.
Shotgun snap on the way, big fourth down. Pressure coming. Renner has Bernard wide open. He makes the catch, falling to the ground at the 20 for the first down.
Welcome back to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Aaron Keck. I'm your host. We are talking rivalry here as we get set for Carolina Duke kicking off in a little bit more than an hour and a half from Wallace Wade Stadium. And we are joined by a couple of the superstars from the Carolina Duke rivalry, former Tar Heel quarterback Gale Bomar joining us here in the studio, and by phone, former Duke quarterback Leo Hart, both very big figures in the Duke-Carolina rivalry. Art Chansky, take it away.
Hey, Gale, you know, when you talked about Bill Dooley taking over the program and bringing a Southeastern Conference mentality and starting off to build what was really a successful program in the old Trench Fighters 11 years. He ran a lot of guys off, and you didn't really have much of a team the first 2 years, 2-8 and 3-7, but you did upset Duke behind your great quarterbacking at the end of both seasons. And how much did that mean to you? Put it in perspective of what the rivalry meant back then.
Well, it was the game of the year for both of us, and I want to talk about this later on if we have time. But Leo, it's funny because Leo Hart and Gale Bomar have become great friends later on in life, he's a tremendous guy, tremendous friend, it meant the world, and it meant everything. Those 2 years were so frustrating for us at Carolina. Many guys leave the program. There were a few of us left, and we just kept hanging in there. And so I brought some just to make sure I had my figures right, Leo. I did go into the attic after my golf game today, and thank you for that phone call this morning. But I pulled out some clippings, and just to make sure that it really did happen in Keenan Stadium, my last game, your sophomore year, when we won that game, I think we were 2-touchdown underdogs.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Leo, I gotta tell you, all these headlines he's got are from the Daily Tar Heel, and they all have the name Bomar in big headline type. So I don't think you knew the Daily. You weren't a favorite of the Daily Tar Heel editors back then.
Well, I mean, to put it in perspective, Gail, read the quote that's on the top of one of those stories about the game.
Now this is from the Raleigh Times, and it says to Carolina's Bomar, Duke is, then it says in headlines, the biggest game of my life. So, and that's the way I felt at that time, because it was it. This was the last one. And, you know, the coaches always tell you, you know, the game you'll remember the most is your last one. Right. And for me, fortunately, it was one to remember.
Well, you beat him in your last 2 years. You beat him in Durham, and then you beat him in Chapel Hill, and two great upsets. And what a way to end otherwise tough seasons and look forward to the next. And then, Leo has been a successful businessman all over the country, all over the world, and you decided to stay in this area and raise a family, and you've done some Carolina inbreeding in your family because David, your son, married one of the Don McCauley's daughters, and that's a pretty good gene pool you've created over there.
And David had a key play in another rivalry, which we'll get into next week. His fame will always be stuck with the other rivalry, that other school down the road.
Yeah.
Leo, we want to talk to you about Duke football in general, about David Cutcliffe, about Wallace Wade Stadium. But Leo, Gale has a story that you are going to appreciate. I'm sure you don't know this story, but to set it up, college quarterbacks are known to lead an active social life. They always have. They are the BMOC. The college quarterback is the big guy on campus. Well, Gale has a story that you will appreciate because all of you guys didn't spend many Saturday nights alone. Didn't have to sit by yourself at the movies. And there was a play. Was it our sophomore year, Gale? Gale and I were here at the same time. And I'm going to let him tell the story. And Leo, you had two great receivers during your career, Wes Justin and Marcel Cordelet. You probably remember another receiver that preceded you guys named Dave Dunaway, a jet from Jacksonville. Gale's story involves Dave Dunaway. Take it away, quarterback Bomar.
Well, this was in 1966. I was, of course, playing safety that year and not quarterback, but Duke was handling us pretty well, and the game at this time was fairly close, and they threw a long pass. Dunaway ran a post pattern, and he was the fastest guy on the field. Everybody knew that. And the cornerback that was covering him was trailing him a little bit. I came over from my safety spot. We both went for the ball, hit each other, knocked each other off, and he caught it and took off. And I was trying to catch him. I was probably about 8 yards behind him. And before he got to the goal line, he stopped and held the ball out like he was teasing me and then backed into the end zone.
And why did he do that, Gale Bomar?
Well, there's always subplots in this Duke-Carolina rivalry, and I'm sure Leo has some of them too. But the truth is that both teams knew this. Dave and his sweetheart, from Jacksonville, she was a Carolina cheerleader. And I had actually started dating her a little bit. And the guys over at Duke didn't like it too well, especially Dave Dunaway.
Now, Leo. Now, Hart, you can't appreciate that story at all, can you, Leo?
No, I appreciate it very much.
How true was that, Leo, from your perspective?
Well, I'm not sure about that. That's the first time I've heard about the Dunaway story. But I think, as Bob Lee intimated a while ago, Gail and I and Don McCauley and many of the guys there, along with Wes Chesson and Tom Landry Jr. and some of the guys from Duke, we started up those friendships. I think you have a great admiration and respect for people that you compete against in such an intense rivalry. As Gale said, when I grew up in eastern North Carolina, there was nothing better than watching the Duke-Carolina game or being a part of it. And so when I had the opportunity to participate in it and then see the guys that we were playing against and competing against, it was just a very fortunate situation for me because it allowed me just really to respect the guys that you play in a heated rivalry, whether it's Cal versus Stanford or Notre Dame versus Southern Cal or Texas versus Oklahoma. There's something more special about that game, and I didn't realize that Duke had been on the short end of the score here so much over the last 21 years, but I do hope that this rivalry will continue to gain in importance, and with both teams at 5-2, because it really gives you, if you're from the state of North Carolina, it gives you bragging rights.
Well, now, Leo, you have stayed very active in the Duke athletic department and Duke football. I know you're close with Coach Cutcliffe, and I want to ask you, right now, in fact, Vanderbilt beat Auburn today, which we'll chat about later, but Vanderbilt, Northwestern, and Stanford have all become very credible programs, and Stanford particularly. And those three schools are often thought of as non-Ivy League, Ivy League schools. They're very proud of their academics, as is Duke. Those three schools, Stanford, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt, have become year in and year out now creditable. How can Duke join those three?
Well, I think we're on the way. As Gail talked about earlier, it's a process. And when North Carolina changed gears and brought Coach Dooley in, it created a different camaraderie and a different strength on the football team. And we feel the same way with Coach Cutcliffe. Since he's come in, I mean, if you look at his track record, 13 years being a signal caller, I guess being the offensive coordinator there at Tennessee, and, of course, being head coach at Ole Miss, prior to that, he has the credentials to create great players, a la he created both Mannings by coaching them at Ole Miss, and Eli and Peyton. And I think you're seeing the beginning of that strength of coaching in some of the players there at Duke. As he said over the last several years, we needed to recruit athletes that had great speed, and we needed to recruit athletes that had skills and that had good reaction time on the football field.
And not sacrifice academics totally in the process of doing that.
Absolutely. And I think that the thing that Gail and I and Don and all of us are most proud of is our pledge when we came to school at North Carolina and Duke was along the lines of you're going to get a wonderful education because you may not be playing football forever or whatever sport you were playing. And you're going to have the opportunity to compete on a national stage in a quality program. And I think that's what Stanford and Vanderbilt and Northwestern and North Carolina and Virginia and some of the groups are doing now is they found a process. They found a good athletic program. I think with Kevin White and his experiences at Notre Dame and the people that he's brought in with the athletic staff, with the coaching staff that Coach Cutcliffe has, the recruiting, I think it always is important to have solid North Carolina kids that can contribute to the program along with the regional kids from all over the country. And I think Duke's on its way, and I think President Broadhead and the Board of Trustees over the last 5 years has made a strong commitment to athletics and to football. And then you'll see that. Most recently, I think there was articles in the paper in Raleigh and in Durham just talking about the capital campaign and athletics is getting ready to raise $250 million, and $100 million of that will go to athletic facilities, and you've got to continually build and rebuild to keep up in this day of college sports.
Well, I don't know whether you saw it or not, but this week I think a doctor gave a $10 million gift to Duke. I don't remember his name. You may know it if you heard about it, but one doctor gave a $10 million gift himself, and of course to us particularly, we make jokes about Wallace Way Stadium because that's part of the rivalry too. They announced sort of tentative plans to make some radical changes in the Wally. Do you know anything about that, and how
yes.
do you feel?
Well, I think it's been discussed for the last 10 years, and I think in recent years it's come to light where they're going to certainly do quite a renovation to the football stadium. They're going to, as I understand it, in stages, they will dig up the field, go deeper. They're going to take up the track and create an athletic track and field facility. Closer to the lacrosse field, and they're going to give you more of a feeling of a football stadium. They're going to bring the alumni and the fans closer to the field, along with redoing an entire press box and adding suites and some of the things that North Carolina has been doing over the last few years.
Well, Leo, thank you so much for joining us from California. We appreciate it. You know, Bob Lee and I have known the rivalry for years, and it really was special back then when the teams were playing on the same level playing field and the guys knew each other and remained great friends, and it's a testament to that for you to be on with us today. And thanks again, and before you go, just give us a real quick prediction on tonight's game.
Well, I'm glad that Gale's not playing defensive back or quarterback. So,
and we're glad you're not playing quarterback too, Hart.
I do believe that I saw North Carolina play Miami last week, and I saw bits and pieces of Duke playing Virginia Tech. But you have to live and learn. But both teams are 5-2, and of course, I'm hoping to feel.
All right, give us a prediction.
Victory.
Give us a Leo Hart prediction, and then Bomar gets to give his.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's going to be pretty high scoring. I don't know. I'm hoping it will be along the lines of 35-31.
Are you picking the dark blue?
I am picking the dark blue.
Okay, Bomar.
Well, first of all, let me just say in closing, I know you guys are wrapping things up, but just want to thank Leo for his friendship. You know, it's the kind of guy that will call me. One day he's in Hawaii, I'll get a phone call on my cell phone, and it's Leo Hart. And then I'll hear from him the next week, and he's in Atlanta. I mean, it's incredible. But he's such a good friend, and I appreciate that, Leo. And I will tell you, in this article, when we did win my senior year, your sophomore year, you did throw for 237 yards. So, buddy, you had a good day. Okay.
Two quality individuals, ladies and gentlemen, Leo Hart and Gale Bomar.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for being with us, and we'll be back with some more of the good sports right after this.
Thank you.
I'm David Fitch of Fitch Lumber and Hardware. Just like on the playing field, teamwork is what you need to tackle any home project. Stop by and team up with Fitch Lumber and Hardware to score big on your upcoming goals. We can help. Get the local home field advantage at Fitch Lumber and Hardware, 309 North Greensboro Street in Carrboro, or call us at 919-942-3153. As always, thanks for your business.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor at Top of the Hill. As smooth as a Dre Bly interception and as sweet as a Carolina victory, Topo Vodka is the perfect complement to your Tar Heel tailgate and victory party. Handcrafted on Franklin Street from only local and organic wheat, Topo is truly the spirit of North Carolina. Ask for Topo Vodka in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and on the web at topodistillery.com. Drink local. Drink Topo Vodka. The spirit of North Carolina. Cheers.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Southern States Volkswagen of Durham is having their biggest sale of the year. Every model is on sale, and now is the time to buy your new Volkswagen. Take up to $2,500 off the 2012 Volkswagen Passat or get 0% for up to 72 months. With these deals, there's just one thing you ought to know. There's only one place you'll ever buy a car from again. Southern States Volkswagen of Durham. Based on stock number W8595. Includes all rebates, 0% on approved credit.
I'm Edward Holmes, CEO of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We operate 21 locations in North Carolina and are headquartered right here in Chapel Hill. You may know us for our 79-cent fountain drink, our sparkling, clean, and friendly stores, but we're just as proud of our community outreach. Earlier this year, we presented $20,000 to local schools and delivered refillable coffee mugs and gas cards to teachers and employees. At Cruisers, we believe being your locally owned convenience store means taking care of our customers, employees, and the people who make a difference in the community.
Cruisers! Good to go.
We come together as a defense, and we're trying to show the world what we have right now. We might not get a lot of looks, but we're trying to make sure that with the looks that we do have, we come out with these W's and we execute to our potential.
Trey Boston talking about the defense as the Tar Heels get set for their rivalry matchup against the Duke Blue Devils a little bit more than an hour from now. Kickoff scheduled for 7 o'clock. Last week, a great defensive game for the Tar Heels, holding Miami to 14 points, coming away with the win. A couple of offensive milestones they might set today. Giovanni Bernard, 95 yards rushing away from 2,000 for his career. Bryn Renner, 70 yards away from 5,000 yards passing for his career. Eventually, we may be talking about those two guys in the conversation of who is the greatest Tar Heel football player of all time. But right now, we've got a contest on our website, chapelboro.com. Art Shansky, tell us about it.
Yeah, it's to pick the greatest Tar Heel. We're down to the Final Four, and we've been tracking this all season long, and this is a Final Four, that we actually expected on offense. It's come down to Don McCauley and Choo Choo Justice, and on defense, it's come down to LT, Lawrence Taylor, and Julius Peppers. So those are the Final Four. So go on there and pick the best offensive player in Carolina history, either McCauley or Choo Choo, and pick the best defensive player, LT or JP. So
as we said all along, there are no qualifications. It's what each person, if whatever you think about him, it wasn't based on records or pro careers or anything. It's as a Carolina fan, who you think are the best, and based on however you rate football players.
Yeah, we recognize that most people don't only know Choo Choo through reputation, and a lot of people only know Don McCauley through reputation. But if you've read a lot about Carolina football, they were both special players, and obviously LT and Julius Peppers were also in defense. So go on, it's called the Pick the Greatest Carolina Football Player bracket on Chapel Borough. Just click the link and go on there and pick your final players on offense and defense. And Bob Lee, Gale slipped away without giving us his prediction, but he whispered it in your ear before
he said
left.
Leo picked a dark blue in a close high scoring game, and Bomar was 42-28, and he's going with the light blue. And I kind of think it's going to be like Gale. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored by both teams, but a lot more scored by the light blue. And I see us winning by two touchdowns plus.
Well, I'm going to hold my prediction till the end of the show.
No, keep people on tether hooks, Art.
No, and going out of sequence here. But, hey, you've got something here on the sheet that talks about, the arrows up and down in the ACC and the BCS. And who you're buying in the ACC for the rest of the season and who you're selling?
Well, I think you're definitely selling Virginia Tech. I mean, they lost another one today. Looks like Clemson and Florida State. Of course, Florida State got upset, and they got knocked out of the national picture by the team that we play next week. The state of Virginia in general has just totally bombed. The Hoos lost to Wake Forest today. So Virginia football is in the state of Virginia is in dire straits right now. So I don't know who are you picking as a top team? Clemson?
No, well, Clemson. Clemson is obviously,
since we are not bowl eligible.
Right, exactly. But I'm buying Carolina in terms of the final record, and I'm selling Duke because I think Duke will manage one more game and finish. But I think they'll finish 7-5. The difference between their schedule over the first six games and the last six is markedly different. Nationally, I'm buying Alabama. You know why?
Oh, what a surprise. You really think Alabama is going to have a good year this year?
I'm buying Alabama because Alabama's buying the BCS title like they have done. You know that Alabama won the national championship last year.
He's shaking his finger at me, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you know that Alabama won the national championship last year while they were on probation? And they beat a team, LSU, that was also on probation.
The ghost of Mike DuBose.
So why wasn't that game called the Probation Bowl? That's what I want to know.
They call it the Pro Bowl for short, I think.
Listen, anyway. we just got a text. I got to fill you guys in on this. I just saw a text we got. Gail was telling that story about dating a cheerleader and David Dunaway. Well, we just got a text from someone identifying themselves as Margie Bomar. I don't know who Margie Bomar might be, but she says not to worry that Gale did end up scoring, and he married Margie Bomar. So, and David Dunaway did marry Sharon Derrick is the end of that story, but don't feel sorry for Gale Bomar. He ended up doing real, real well with Margie Bomar, and they produced, among others, David Goal Line Bomar, who was a great hero in a state game that we'll talk about next week. But yes, Gale Bomar did score, as did David Dunaway, and Gale scored with Margie Bomar. And, is that okay, Margie? Did I do good for you?
Yeah, you did fine. Now let's move on so this show can remain PG rated. Hey, we check the bowl band standings every week. This
the Boilermakers
week,
were beating Urban earlier. Yeah. How'd that turn out?
Ohio State won in overtime.
Ohio State. Did you see how that game ended?
Absolutely, in overtime. So they're 8-0. UNC 5-2. Will be 6-2 tonight. Yep. Penn State 4-2, and they play Iowa, that is also 4-2. And
well, that's a team and a coach. Just like he's a $5 million coach, Ferentz. He's doing as bad as Mack.
Well,
that's $10,000 worth of coaches that haven't won more than about four games this year.
And Central Florida, the other team in the bowl band standings, is at the mighty Memphis team tonight, which is 1-5.
When you hear George O'Leary, what do you think about?
Well, I think about his cup of coffee at Notre Dame.
The resume bowl,
right? And then and then he's at Central Florida, and they're on probation. And so I think same thing I think about Alabama. But anyway, those are the bowl band standings for the week, and hopefully we can figure out
we got one other new category, Chansky.
What's that?
And that's the Where Is Butch Going sweepstakes. Now, we know Butch did his infomercial last week with Jeff Gravely to bring everybody else up on it. Butchie is available. And there are three schools right now that may be leading in the Where Butch Might End Up sweepstakes, and those are all SEC schools, which, of course, where he belongs. I'll leave that open line for you. And that is Auburn, where Gene Chizik has turned out to be a one-cam coach and a one-cam wonder. So you got Auburn, Arkansas, and Tennessee. You got any bets on where Butchie might end up?
Well, I bet he ends up at Arkansas because, it's like at Kentucky a few years ago when Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director, did not want to hire John Calipari because of his reputation. So he hired Billy Gillespie, and we all know what happened with Billy Gillespie. So 3 years later, he hired the same John Calipari that he didn't hire 3 years before. You know why? Because his job was on the line, and he had a different perspective. Now, Jeff Long, who made a very unpopular decision in getting rid of Bobby Petrino and the Bimbo, now they've had a disastrous season with John L. Smith. So his perspective may have changed. And Butch, with going on infomercials and YouTube videos and all that, pleading his case that he didn't do anything wrong at Carolina, that it was all everybody else's fault, that Jeff Long may, in fact, opt to hire Butch Davis, who has huge connections in Arkansas. Sam Walton, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, the Tyson Chicken guy. Butch is connected in Arkansas.
I am going to challenge you on that and say, one, Jerry Jones is not a fan of Butch Davis, and I'm going to put Butch in Knoxville on Rocky Top because his agent, Gemma Sexton, is a former UT football manager. So I say that Butchie goes to Rocky Top.
I don't think so. I don't think Derek Dooley loses a job after this year. But anyway, that's between me and you to argue during this break, and we'll be back with our last segment right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Scott Maitland, proprietor of Top of the Hill. Top of the Hill helped forge the North Carolina microbrewing renaissance, and we are now proud to lead the state in micro distilling. Our organic Topo Vodka is handcrafted from scratch in our Franklin Street distillery using only local organic soft red winter wheat. Ask for it in your local ABC store and fine establishments everywhere. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, or the web, topodistillery.com. Drink local, drink Topo Vodka, the spirit of North Carolina. Cheers!
If you're a woman looking for prenatal care, you should know about UNC Family Medicine. They know how important your pregnancy, birth experience, and first years of your child's life are to you and to your family. And now they offer group care, social support, and parenting classes for new parents. Young families are choosing UNC Family Medicine for excellent care offered for prenatal, postpartum, well baby, and well child care. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life. For more information, visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
He'll play action to James out of the shotgun, looking deep. Finally, he'll air it out. Trey Boston picks it off for the Tar Heel. Boston in front of Phillips Dorsett, the receiver for Miami, gets the turnover.
Welcome back to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. Just a few minutes from sending it down to Wallace Wade Stadium, where Jones Angel and the game will take it over for their pregame show before kickoff at 7 o'clock. This is Aaron Keck hosting here from WCHL Studios alongside Art Chansky and Bob Lee. A couple of score updates from the ACC. Georgia Tech leading Boston College 31-17 in the fourth quarter, and NC State up 17-9 on Maryland also in the fourth quarter. We haven't had a chance to ask this question yet. We had it planned for earlier in the show, but we've been talking about the Duke-UNC rivalry this whole time, and obviously you're talking with Gail Bomar and Leo Hart, a couple of great figures from the old classic days of the rivalry when Duke and UNC were more on a level playing field. UNC's won 21 of the last 22, so who today is UNC's number one rival, in football at least? Is it Duke or is it NC State?
In football, it's got to be NC State.
Absolutely.
But you can have two. I mean, that people make this rule up. You know, it used to be in the old days it was Virginia. Way back in the Choo-Choo's era, it was Virginia. But it's very easily. In football, it's NC State. In basketball, it's Duke. End of discussion.
But it's still Go to Hell Duke at the end of the fight song, whether they sing it at a football game or
but
basketball.
But that's been exiled out of Keenan Stadium for like 20-some years from the PC crowd. It exiled to Go to Hell Duke.
All right, let's go to the two-minute drill since we got about 2 minutes plus left.
Okay. All right, first question, what's your favorite ACC stadium not named Keenan?
Art?
You go.
Clemson's number one, great game atmosphere, love going to Clemson. And my number two is Wake Forest, and that's because every year I get to go and sit in the Maracle section with the top elite of the Deacon royalty. So, and I have a bartender there who knows my name because every year I get to go. You get VIP treatment like that, don't you, Arthur?
Yeah, not like you do, BL. That's not like you do.
The Maracle section at Groves BPT Stadium and Death Valley.
My favorite ACC stadium besides Keenan is at Florida State. I think when the Seminoles are rolling and rocking, there's nothing like that. So, and then, you know, when Chief Osceola comes out and defaces the stadium field, it's really cool.
Bob Lee, I like how your standards are based on how freely the liquor flows.
There you go.
All right, name four Duke football coaches since Bill Murray.
Fred Goldsmith, Carl Franks, Ted Ruth, and the Wilson brothers. They weren't brothers, but the Wilson boys. Do you remember the Wilson boys?
I do. Red Wilson, right? And Barry Wilson.
And Barry Wilson. There you go.
But how could you have left out Tom Harp, who was Leo Hart's coach?
Or Steve Spurrier.
And Steve Spurrier, who was between the Wilson brothers.
Because the question said only name four.
Okay. Well, I'm giving you two more.
All right. And don't forget the great man himself, Wally.
Wally, exactly.
That old Wally.
And David Cutcliffe. No one's mentioned David Cutcliffe.
And it's David Cutcliffe. But old Wally and Bill Murray in their overcoats and fedoras.
All right, fire away.
What two other games are you following this weekend?
For me, it's tonight. It's West Virginia, K-State. Is West Virginia going to be the quickest burnout in history and their Heisman Trophy guy disappear? And the other one was the one we referred to. It's already been played now that we're playing a night game. And that was Vanderbilt beating Auburn. I think to just imagine Auburn going from undefeated national champion to being beaten by Vanderbilt.
Well, mine is my second one is a Miami FSU, because I really think with West Virginia getting it handed to them in Lubbock last week, and of course the Seminoles losing in Raleigh, both of those teams can get back into the BCS picture if they pull off big wins this week.
Which brings us to our next question.
Yes, and both of you are incorrect, by the way. The answer is Michigan State, Michigan. I don't care. They're both terrible. I'm from Michigan. That's all that matters.
And your Tigers are in the
and
World
my Tigers
Series.
Are in the World Series. We'll get to that in a minute. I called that a week ago.
As far as buying and selling,
a football show.
So yeah. I'm selling the Yankees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Although I would love to be a fan of a team that goes to the ALCS, loses, and it's an apocalyptic end-of-the-world thing. We're just happy to get to the playoffs. Speaking of Heisman candidates, Geno Smith, West Virginia, is definitely a favorite, but name a Heisman Trophy dark horse.
Gio Bernard.
Maybe next year. I think Matt Barkley's back in it, yeah. if they can beat Notre Dame and win
and Oregon.
Yeah,
and Oregon, one of the two times. Yeah, they could come right back in the picture. And most Heisman winners don't know more than two or three players anyway. And if they all shoot themselves in the foot, Matt Barkley comes back and wins it with a big push in November.
Duke's got five wins this season so far. They're 5-2. Really, the only impressive win so far over Wake, if we call that impressive. What is their final record going to be?
I'm telling you, it's 7-5. I think they're going to eke out one more win against Georgia Tech and Miami.
I think they win 6, and it's Christmas in Shreveport for Team Cut Club.
Which they'll be very happy about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Tar Heels final record this season.
10-2,
Me and Chansky agree on that one. 10-2 for the Fighting Fedorians.
All right. 10-2. Quick turn to baseball. Who's A-Rod going to be playing for next year?
Miami.
I think he's going to be playing for the New York Yankees.
Sounds good. And St. Louis and San Francisco. Cardinals up 3-2 on the Giants. Who plays the Tigers? Who loses to the Tigers in the World Series?
I think the Giants lose. I think the Giants have already proved they can win 3 straight, and they're going to do it again.
Nope. I love the birds on the bat. I love the Busch Stadium crowd.
Yeah. I'm hoping for the Cardinals.
David Freeze
revenge
is the greatest
from 2006.
Player in Major League Baseball.
It will happen.
David Freeze rocks.
All right. This is the end of the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. Quick prediction, final score.
Bob, you already picked it.
I already picked it, yeah. Us 40-point plus, and we beat them by at least 14.
All right, Chansky, you got the last word.
All right, despite what our boy Carlton Tudor said in the News and Observer today, who picked Duke 28-27, it's the Tar Heels by 21 tonight.
All right, that'll do it for us here at the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. Thanks so much to Gail Bomar and Leo Hart. This has been Aaron Keck alongside Art Chansky and Bob Lee. We'll see you next week in advance of the NC State game. But right now, we're going to send it down to Larry Fedora for Jones Angel and the gang. We'll get to Larry Fedora in a minute. To Jones Angel and the gang at Wallace Wade Stadium, where the rivalry is just an hour away from beginning. We are here at WCHL Studios right now. We're going to send it down to Wallace Wade.